Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
With two outs. Tucker fouls one off his front knee. Now he's in pain. So the two lefty sluggers for the Astros in some pain this inning. Jordan with his ankle getting out of the batter's box. And now Tucker smashes a foul into that front right knee.
Yeah, this isn't good.
A&T Sportsnet, AT&T Sportsnet Southwest, they don't care about the kids, but we do. That was a very loud and audible F-word dropped by Kyle Tucker after he fouled a ball off his knee in the Astros 4-2 loss last night. Why can't they just follow up one of these nice wins with another nice win? It would be nice, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be nice to be above 500? Guess that's not going to happen tonight when the Astros wrap up their series against the Toronto Blue Jays. What's going on? It is the Paul Gallant Show. Welcome aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. As Mr. Voiceman himself said, I am Paul Gallant. Number to jump aboard, as always, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the HRNP listener line. You can join us and watch the show in our often toxic Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN975. I have been described as looking like Slappy the Dummy from the Goosebumps series, a figure that used to give me nightmares. So you could watch to see that wearing my Houston Sabercats rugby jersey. I tried out for the Sabercats back in 2018 after a Chinese food crawl in Chinatown in Houston back in 2018. And I thought I did well. And the Sabercats, they did not think I did well, so they gave me this jersey, and it says Waterboy on the back. So it's basically like an inside joke for them to make fun of me. You can also join us on Twitter, at Gallant Says, at ESPN97.5, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. Sean, good morning, afternoon. How are you doing?
Doing good, doing good. You see First Take? They're talking to Bryce Young, and he looks like he's like still in his Alabama dorm room.
He does. He does not have great lighting going on in there, and he also doesn't look like he wants to be there. Should we?
Oh, there he is.
Oh, he's smiling.
There
he's,
he goes.
He's smiling with Stephen A. Smith right now. Yeah, so Stephen A. Smith and First for Your Pizza on the Take, whatever, they're talking to him. So
believe it or not, they're asking him, why do you believe your size will not be an issue in the NFL?
Ooh.
Leading question.
I think it's never great to ask somebody why their height won't be an issue, because
defend yourself.
You're short. Thoughts?
Yeah. You know they're not asking that to Will Levis or
nope.
Anthony Richardson.
Nope.
CJ
Stroud. Hendon Hooker. Clayton Tune. Stetson Bennett.
Well, they might be asking. They might be asking it to Stetson.
They're asking Stetson Bennett some other stuff. They're asking Stetson Bennett about his handling of not pressure, but alcohol. Hey, it's the Paul Gallant Show. I know, the draft. It's a week away. Wait, no, it's still not a week away. Damn it. We're going to do
8 days away.
8 days away.
Matt Schaub days away.
Yes, Sean. We're Matt Schaub days away.
David Carr days away. Oh, omen that they're going to pick a quarterback.
You know what? Maybe it is. And we've had some fun with the draft conversation. We're going to do something to count down to the NFL draft. What it's going to be is things I would rather listen to than NFL draft talk. And guess what I did yesterday? I listened to Pantera. I would rather listen to Pantera than listen to NFL draft coverage. I'll give a review in the next segment. But let's talk about the Astros last night. It's a reminder that they have no depth. Was that eighth inning not terrifying? And credit to Yordan Alvarez for toughing it out, at least staying on base before being pulled from the game for David Hensley after hitting an RBI single to right field. His leg buckled strangely. Who knows what leg? I bet the Astros don't even know. That's sort of on brand with Yordan Alvarez. It looked like he rolled an ankle. Again, I don't even know what ankle it is. Sometimes when you see it on video, it ends up being the other ankle on the injury report. So hopefully he doesn't end up missing time, but he was pulled from the game. And then immediately afterwards, Kyle Tucker in an at-bat, he fouled a ball off, as you heard coming into the show, off of his knee. But he fought through the at-bat and he ended up getting a RBI single of his own to make it 4-2 to score Alex Bregman. Michael Brantley is already hurt. I guess he could begin a minor league rehab assignment as soon as Sunday. Jose Altuve's hurt. That's unfortunate. We did at least hear from Dana Brown before yesterday's game, giving us some vague, non-specific idea of when Altuve could return. Maybe it'll happen sooner than you expect. Here's Dana.
He's doing well. I was in the trainer's room with him. I was watching him doing his thumb exercise. So he's doing well. I think he's on a track that it could be sooner than we thought. But we still got to get the X-ray, and we got to get the evaluation of the X-ray, and we'll know more.
When you say sooner than we thought, what do you mean?
Well,
by
if we're projecting, you know, 9 weeks, and if it's 7 weeks, that's great. You know, if we're projecting 8 and it's 6, that's great too. So we're hoping that it's sooner than later.
I don't know what that means. If we're projecting 9 and it ends up being 7 weeks, that's good. If we're projecting 8 weeks and it ends up being 6 weeks, that's good too. Thanks, Dana. I appreciate the insight on Jose Altuve's injury.
If it's 52 and it's 50, if it's 49 and it's
right.
48.
Sean, is this the new Astros transparency where instead of not saying anything about injuries, now we're just going to get vague numbers about when someone might return?
And they're progressing sooner than we think. And then it's like, well, it depends on how soon you thought he was going to return. Like, that soon, yes, he's not out for the year. Well, we never thought he was out for the year, Dana.
Right. So hopefully he's back in either 9, 8, 6, or 5 weeks. I forget. He listed so many numbers. But maybe Jose Altuve will be back at some point this year.
Tomorrow. Then, he might be back tomorrow.
That would
be sooner than I think.
He will not be back tomorrow. Chaz McCormick was placed on the 10-day injured list for a lower back injury. He had to leave the game Friday with vision issues. I guess the two are unrelated. They don't have much depth. And this could end up being a problem by the end of the year because right now they are playing teams that are very good. The Toronto Blue Jays, they're going to play the Atlanta Braves this weekend. They've got a series against Seattle coming up. I mean, they've got some tough opponents on the near horizon. And that lack of depth at least could be a problem when it comes to them being at the very least the one seed or the two seed in the American League, which of course gives you a first round bye. Still weird to say it. I don't know why I said of course. I feel like I still have to mansplain baseball's new playoffs whenever I talk about it. I think there's an argument to be made that perhaps the Astros were cheap when it came to depth this offseason. I know that Jeremy Branham has been pounding the table that the Astros should have signed Jerks and Profar, who signed a one-year $7.75 million deal over the offseason with the Rockies. This team was pinching pennies over Kyle Tucker over, what, $2.5 million. They fought him in arbitration. They won, to their credit, but they're fighting him in arbitration. There are deals that could have been had for Joey Gallo, though Gallo didn't play very well at the Yankees. He signed a one-year $11 million deal with the Twins. Kevin Kiermaier signed a one-year $9 million deal with Toronto. Those are some of the outfield options that I guess the Houston Astros had this offseason. But instead they said, you know what? We're going to roll it back with Michael Brantley. And you can't predict injuries, but it does seem like Yordan Alvarez is always on the verge of being injured and out for at least a couple of days. That Kyle Tucker injury, he is tough as balls, continuing to play through that at-bat, getting a hit in that at-bat. But now Chaz McCormick is injured. And even if Jake Myers is hitting a home run in Monday night's game, I'm not expecting more home runs from Jake Myers. Is Corey Jolks in expanded play going to play well? Depth is an issue, and I think you could make an argument that they played things a little bit too cheap this offseason. When it comes to depth, this is nitpicking, rather extreme nitpicking, and it's not like everybody that was an available outfielder for the Astros signed a reasonable deal. I thought Andrew Benintendi might be someone that they could sign. 5 years and $75 million he went to the White Sox for. Mitch Haniger, who's always hurt in Seattle, but good when he's healthy. 3 years, $43.5 million with the Giants. Jock Peterson had a really good year last year. He signed a qualifying offer, I think, to stay in San Francisco for 1 year and $19.65 million. So it's not like there were a ton of affordable options, but those other options I listed, Kiermaier, Gallo, Profar, I think they're worthy of, at the very least, asking a question when it comes to second-guessing. Some other notes from last night. Jose Urquidy fell apart in the fourth and the fifth. He got yabbo'd, like absolutely destroyed on a couple of home runs to the opposite field. But the bullpen held it down at the very least. That's a surprise based off of what we've seen thus far. 4 2/3 and one hit allowed. And Mauricio Dubon, who had an infield single, the Astros had to challenge it to make it stick, has a hitting streak of 13 games. It's weird that when it comes to Jose Altuve, who, again, is hurt, like that hasn't necessarily been the problem. And if Dubon continues this hitting, then, hey, maybe you have some surprise outfield depth that you didn't know about. And I'm sure that's what the Astros were thinking going into this year. You know, I don't think they expected Altuve to get hurt in the World Baseball Classic. Dubon was going to be their super utility, and now it was going to mean that they would not find themselves in a situation like they could have found themselves in last night, where Yordan Alvarez leaves. Kyle Tucker looked like he, at the very least, dinged himself up, and Chaz McCormick was placed in the 10-day IL. Are you concerned about the Astros' depth? Were they too cheap this offseason? You get to answer that at 713-780-3776 to call, to text in as well on the HRNP listener line. You can also tweet us at Gallant Says, at ESPN97.5, at Sean A. Mapes Behind the Glass, or join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. The Carolina Panthers, when asked if they were taking Bryce Young yesterday, said, "Not so fast." You will hear the rationale. And I will put on a tinfoil hat to explain why they said what they said. Next, it's the Paul Gallant Show. Don't go anywhere.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You know what? We're still going through the process. You know, obviously through this whole, since February, the combine, everything else, there's been some clarity. But we've made a conscious effort to keep an open mind about this.
We saw yesterday that Bryce canceled his last visit.
Yeah.
Has there been communication to him that he's the pick?
No, there is not. And, you know, that's a decision he made on his own. And I just refer you to, you know, his reps and to Bryce as to why.
That's Panthers general manager Scott Fitterer at a pre-draft press conference yesterday. It did seem like a foregone conclusion, given the odd change in Vegas, where Bryce Young is now plus 2,000, meaning you got to put down $2,000 to win $100 to be the first overall pick in the NFL draft, and he canceled all of his meetings with other teams. You would have thought that the Carolina Panthers told Bryce Young that they're going to draft him. Fitterer's denying it, and I don't buy the denial at all. No one should buy the denial. I bet they already had the conversation, and I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on for a second. I think the NFL is obsessed with making the NFL draft have a little bit of suspense. We were talking about horror movies on the Twitch chat in the break. I think they want you to have a feeling that you don't know what's happening next. And remember, in the past, they've cracked down on NFL reporters who have broken picks before they were actually made. I think that it stands to reason that the NFL might have told the Carolina Panthers, the Houston Texans, to really, I guess, mask whatever they might do so that there is a little bit of extra buzz leading up to the first pick instead of that first pick being a foregone conclusion. I think they want some speculation leading into the draft itself. I also think that they want that speculation to continue up to the pick being turned in during the early minutes, hours of the NFL draft, which is annoying, but is it that crazy of a theory that the NFL would tell them, nope, you're not releasing anything. You're keeping everything inside the vest. We want this to be the best TV show we possibly can make.
It's so stupid. It's so
I agree.
Stupid.
I agree, but it's probably what's happening.
We all know. We all know. Every year this happens, too, where we all know who the number one pick is, but they have to play this little shell game of like, maybe not. Maybe not. That's like, we know. We know. You don't have to, I don't know.
It was a couple of years ago where we knew Trevor Lawrence was going first overall, no matter what. And because we knew Trevor Lawrence was going first to the Jaguars, no matter what, we also knew that Zach Wilson was going second overall. And then it became tricky. So this was, what, two drafts ago?
21.
Right. So I bet that the NFL, realizing that, that probably ruined a little bit of intrigue the first half hour of the draft. They want everyone to make it seem as if they haven't made up their mind yet.
I mean, the year before was Burrow that we knew going into it. Year before that, was that Kyler?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, year before that was Baker. What they did a very good job about the Baker Mayfield.
Baker was a
thing until
not
like
foregone
the
conclusion.
Tuesday before the draft.
Right. It did seem like it could be a variety of different people back in, what was that, 2018?
2018.
Okay. Yeah. Man. First overall, Baker Mayfield.
Who's the 2017? Was that Myles Garrett?
2017.
Yeah, it was Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett and went then first overall.
Mitch Trubisky.
And then Mitch Trubisky.
I feel like most years we know who the number one pick is, like way before. And then we still have to, like, we still have to have the Scott Fitterers of the world, future former Carolina Panthers GM Scott Fitterer, just have to, I don't know. They have to be like, oh, ask Bryce's reps why he canceled all these visits. It's like, I think we know why.
I think there was some back and forth in 2016 between Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. I think that was a pretty heated debate because it was two guys.
But both teams traded up to get.
That's also
you
correct.
Know? So once the second team trades up, much. You kind of know.
Right. And then you had in 2015, I think it was Jameis and then Mariota.
Yeah.
And I think there might have been some debate about who would go first between the two leading up to the draft. But then everyone, despite Jameis Winston's many incidents at Florida State, was like, yeah, it's got to be Jameis.
It's got to be Jameis.
And how did those picks work out?
Well, who was the better pick? Jameis. Okay. We'll move on.
Just a pause before I bitch and moan about draft coverage again. It's not the end of the world if you don't get a quarterback with the first or second pick. It's going to make the Texans boring, but it's not the end of the world because a lot of these guys are going to suck.
I was going to say, think about the last four quarterbacks we said the names of. Jameis right. Winston, Marcus Mariota,
Jared Goff,
Carson Wentz.
And there were good moments for each of those quarterbacks. Goff had some good moments.
Yeah.
Mariota's the only one who never had a single good moment in the NFL.
He had that touchdown pass that he threw to himself.
Right, because Darrell Revis, husk that he was at that point in his career, couldn't field that. That That game drove me crazy. I was so pissed off that the Titans won that game because I hate the Titans and I think their fans are dumb. And they thought that it validated Marcus Mariota. Whatever. Look, guys, I'm done. I'm done with this. The draft needs to start. It's 8 days away. So I've decided we're going to do a countdown going forward. The next 8 days. Things I would rather listen to than NFL draft coverage. And here's number one on that countdown. I would rather listen to Pantera. And guess what? I finally listened to Pantera. Backstory for those who are just tuning in. I think Walk by Pantera is an unnecessarily hard-o song. I think it's awful. And one time at Down the Street Bar in the Heights, someone played it and ruined our brunch vibes. So I said aloud, who the bleep put this bleep on? The person who put the bleep on got in my face and started like, what are you going to do about it? And I just said, I'm just going to keep telling you what an awful song choice this was, you bleeping hardo. We had to be separated, etc. Thank God. Probably would have kicked my ass. But I stood by, and it made me hate Walk by Pantera specifically even more, and Vicariously Pantera, who I assumed was a band of heavy metal hardos just... So yesterday, I finally decided, you know what? I'm going to give them a fair shot. I listened to four songs other than Walk by Pantera. The first, Cowboys from Hell. Okay, a little more of the same. I couldn't understand literally any of the lyrics, so it's a little bit like mumble rap. No offense, Pantera fans. Until they said Cowboys from Hell. And then this awesome solo kicked in, and I was like, okay, this isn't bad.
I feel like they're going to take offense to that.
They will, of course. Who cares?
You said no offense. I feel like they didn't hear that part.
Right. I did say it. No offense. Mumble rap, Pantera, I don't know the difference. Cemetery Gates. That song was actually good. But it doesn't sound like any of the other songs I heard by them. It actually sounded a little bit like One by Metallica. There's a little grunge vibes to it, too. That song I legitimately liked. I was surprised that there was one that I liked. I'm Broken. So, the guitar from the riff to the solo, great. And I kind of got Bulls on Parade vibes. The lyrics, though, again, it's just guttural screaming. And once again, with Domination, the last song I listened to, the guitar riff and the solo are great. So I'll say this. The guitar work by Pantera is pretty damn good. The lyrics, the singing, like, honestly, you could totally get rid of it. See, playing this in the background right now and not hearing them go, like, actually, it's not bad. Like, pretty good background music.
So for the next 7 days, well, it'll only be like five shows. And I don't know if we'll do one on third. Anyway, the next editions of this segment, will it be different music or will it
yes.
be other things?
It'll okay. be anything. Okay. So I need help here. I need help.
What are awful things I need to listen to instead of draft talk?
Right, because okay. we need to make it difficult. And we will determine whether or not I would rather listen to it at the end. I would rather listen to Pantera than NFL draft coverage.
I'm officially
on that after today. Yo, big win for Pantera. Pantera is going up the power rankings.
They're underdog. There's 7.5-point underdogs coming into this.
Sean, I think they were 10.
Wow.
I think they were 10. Honestly, I went in and I was like, I don't want to do this bit anymore. When I started playing
when
music.
You're looking at the Spotify page,
like, oh,
you're like, oh,
God,
my God.
Here we go. So I'm going to try to think of some other things that I absolutely can't stand listening to. The 1-877 Cars for Kids commercial, no, we won't do that. We won't. We won't do that one. That one's too much.
Preferably be like a few things. Something that's like a few, maybe a press conference with a few different cuts from a certain GM in town.
Could listen to Nick
Any of the GMs in town, actually.
Yeah, I know. I don't really like hearing any of them talk, do I? Could be that. So we'll think about that. But that's how we're going to do our countdown to the draft. Things I would rather listen to than NFL draft coverage. But while we're on the NFL draft, which is 8 days away, I'm going to read and play two very annoying reports about what might happen at the top of the draft. If you want to get mad for no reason with me, stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. The NFL draft is 8 days away. I am done with NFL draft talk. I am done with NFL draft reports because those reports always seem to be something along the lines of this, transcribed from NFL Live, Adam Schefter saying, quote, "I don't think we're going to see a quarterback go at number two. I don't think." And I think all the teams that were talking about trading up to three know that, so they can sit back and wait. And so this great QB rush that we've all been expecting might take a little bit of time. I don't think. How about they're not going to take one? It's yes, I'm assuming that it's educated speculation here. I'm certain that Adam Schefter's actually heard from a couple of people, and maybe that does lead him to think that the Texans won't take a quarterback with that second overall pick. But I also don't think that is a definitive thing happening. I don't believe that.
Also, teams that are talking about trading up to three know that, and the QB rush will start later. Like one pick later? Like is that what later is? Like if CJ Stroud's available at three, theoretically, someone's going to want to trade up for it because someone was going to trade up for it if it was Anthony Richardson or Will Levis. If the right. Texans picked CJ, I don't really understand many reports that come 8 days before the draft, but especially this one.
Right. Look, Schefter's value is breaking news because he's an information trader. It's not like he's a super sleuth. He does the bidding of agents who will give him information in exchange for that. Like, that's how it works. It's not like he's Woodward and Bernstein or anything like that. His job is to give me that information. I don't give a bleep about his speculation. I don't. I really don't. Because it's not what he does best.
And you could argue that, like, he just shouldn't ever speculate because it muddies the water between... If he gets out there and speculates, people assume that it's a report.
Exactly.
And then when it doesn't, because he's like anyone else, he'll speculate and be wrong, then it weakens the reports because people will then conflate the speculation that was wrong with his next report that could be right.
So confusing, but you are 100% on the nose with that one, Sean. Do you want to hear another bad draft report? There's a television show called Charlotte Sports Live. Makes me miss the days of Sports Talk Live here in Houston. Shout out to Kevin Eschenfelder. Shout out to all the many people that I would be on the air with, put on a ton of makeup and make my hair look like I'm Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z, talking about things that were going on in Houston sports.
I feel like every show that is like Charlotte Sports Live and Sports Live Talk Houston.
Sports Talk Live, yeah.
I feel like it's the same five words just over and over
pretty
again.
Much.
It's name of city sports live talk.
I'm jealous that they have one because does Charlotte have many teams? They have the Panthers and they have...
The Hornets, dude.
The Hornets. That's it. That's it.
I bet they talk a lot of UNC Clemson and Duke basketball.
No, I doubt they do.
Cause
it's
really?
It's Charlotte's kind of far away from Raleigh-Durham. Hmm. It's not that close. Anyway, here is a report, I guess, about what the Panthers might do in the draft.
Now, when it comes to Frank and Scott not talking, I love this because they're doing the whole process properly. They went into this with an open mind. They didn't have an opinion. They didn't go out to seek the facts that backed up their opinion. They went out there and sought the facts and then created an opinion. Therefore, Scott didn't say to Frank, here's my guy, and then go out and find a bunch of reasons as to why that's his guy, and vice versa. They went out there with an open mind. They didn't let their ego get in the way and want to be the smartest guys in the room. They allowed the facts to dictate their opinions, not the other way around. That's why I think they're going to land on the right guy. I've been saying it for all along on Charlotte Sports Live every night. I think Bryce Young is going to end up being the number one overall pick. Everyone else has come around. We've been saying it from day one.
I think. Not is going to be, I think. And by the way, he started this off by saying, I think it's good that Frank Reich and Scott Fitterer didn't talk to each other. They just came to their own opinions, and then they spoke to one another. All right. Cool, man. Thanks for that. That was very appreciated.
But
that
also,
support, that contribution to this draft talk BS.
But also, what the group think and the assumption is, I also think that's right. It's like, I think they did the process the right way and came to the same result that everyone else did.
Yes, yes, 100%.
But he got to, you know, smooch a little backsides for 30 seconds to get around to, I think they picked Bryce Young.
This is why we hate draft talk. Someone just commented on the Twitch, Paul, you just said no draft talk, then proceeded to draft talk. No, we are highlighting how bad draft talk is. It is awful. It is awful, awful radio, awful conversations. It is all speculation based off of entirely nothing. Nothing. All those mock drafts are going to be like 2 for 32. And one of those will be because they know Bryce Young's going first. Somebody else will hit something randomly, but most mock drafts end up going 2 for 32. You're welcome. Told you that first. Bet on mock drafts being wrong. By the way, the 49ers have received inquiries from teams looking into a potential trade for former number 3 quarterback overall pick, Trey Lance. Ooh, Texans? That's all I got. Also, no, don't. Don't do that.
He knows the system. So what?
Oh, no, I forgot about this. He does know the system. Oh, no.
So what, that the team that drafted him spent 3 first-round picks to get him, and he's played, like, 2 games, and they're ready to give up on him?
He's played 4, okay?
Whatever.
I think.
Whatever.
He also played, like, 2 games in college because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
We're exaggerating a little bit, but yikes. Bill O'Brien was asked about the Patriots' offense in 2023. The theme for the offense, move forward. And he also continued to say that everyone has a fresh start, a clean slate. I think referring to Mac Jones and the bitching and moaning that was going on up there. I'm going to be bitching and moaning about the Patriots offense this year. More Mac Jones. Bill O'Brien's back in the building. Bill O'Brien wasn't, I mean, he's better than Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. That's it. I wasn't the biggest O'Brien as an offensive coordinator fan. I will say I liked him as a head coach with the Texans, not as a GM. But I wasn't a big fan of him as an offensive coordinator in the past.
And so the theme of move forward, that is that getting you going?
I am move not forward. Moving forward.
No, this move is, forward.
This is not a fresh start. This is not a clean start.
If you're an offense, you want to move forward. That's a fact. You can't debate that.
Alabama wanted to move forward from Bill O'Brien after the lack of offensive fire works last year. They did. So
yeah, but move forward.
Deshaun Watson spoke to the media, and remember when he said that he'll eventually share his side of the story? He was asked about the remaining 2 settlements in Texas. He settled 23 of 25 sexual misconduct allegations against him. He deferred to his legal team. So we're never going to hear from Deshaun on that front. He was full of it in that moment. If you're still one of those people, and I know there are a couple of you out there that think Deshaun was completely innocent of everything, I suppose this is a trump card for you. It's not, though. DeMar Hamlin's been cleared to play 3.5 months after suffering Komodo cordis. Wasn't any of the other stupid speculation you heard about, guys. It most commonly results from an impact to the left chest with a hard ball during sports activity. The sudden focal distortion of the myocardium results in ventricular fibrillation, causing sudden cardiac arrest in an otherwise structurally normal heart. But Hamlin's going to be back, so good for DeMar Hamlin. That is good news. He's alive.
I felt like I was just in biology class once he started. Ventricular fibrillate. Weird that they found a body double that's good at football, Tim.
Oh my God, stop.
He looks just like him.
I don't want to entertain this. That is Sean Mapes behind the glass saying that. I am not. I'm Paul Gallant.
I'm not also saying. I'm just saying it would be, you know, what are the odds? You know?
What a good way to.
I'm not saying, what are the odds that they found a.
It's more
unlikely that they found a body double than it is that he's just normal.
All right, coming up next. The Rockets are bringing Ime Udoka into town for an interview. Look, it's not like the Rockets are trying to be the most morally pious organization in the world bringing him in. But there is a great reason that I don't think many have discussed as why bringing in Udoka might be great for the Rockets, big picture. I'll explain why next. Plus, Draymond got suspended. Paul Gallant Show, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Paul Gallant.
I do need some help for our NFL draft countdown going forward. I want you to suggest to me terrible things to listen to. And I will determine after listening to those terrible things, could be songs, could be stand-up comics bombing, could be really boring speeches, could be really bad moments of dialogue in a movie. I want to try and figure out just how much I despise NFL draft talk.
A bad movie might be really good.
I agree. But see, the thing with bad movies, I love the train wreck nature of a bad movie. So take The Room, starring Tommy Wiseau. You might have seen the spoof that they did, starring James Franco, Dave Franco, that came out a couple of years ago. It's based off of this truly horrendous movie that was made by this really strange, mysterious guy, and it became a cultural phenomenon because of how bad it is. That movie I enjoy. Like, I love watching that movie. There are clips from that one. Like, you could go all day. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark. Anyway, let's talk about what the Houston Rockets are doing today. The Houston Rockets are bringing in disgraced Boston Celtics head coach Ime Udoka after he was suspended before the start of this season for a violation of team policies. He was hanging out, I say that in quotation marks, with a Celtics team staffer. The man, I believe, was engaged. So not a great look. But hey, it's not about who you bleep. It's about who you coach. It's about how well you coach. And you got to say this about Udoka. When he came in and stepped in for Brad Stevens and the Boston Celtics, that was a team that I think needed some hard coaching and needed some clear directive on what direction and what role every single player had on that team. He was a welcome addition, and the turnaround that they had towards the end of last year, leading all the way up to the NBA Finals, was truly remarkable, to the point that I think Udoka deserves a lot of credit for it. One of the reasons that hiring Udoka would be because of what he did there in Boston, installing discipline. And maybe that means that James Harden doesn't come here. And I don't want James Harden here. I'll say it once. I'll say it as many times as I possibly can. James Harden is not helping the Houston Rockets take the next step with this young core. He's not. If you think otherwise, you're stupid. Period. Is that mean? Sure. It's a fact. But the other thing that's interesting about a potential hire of Ime Udoka, we've heard some rumors about Celtics star forward, but can play a little guard, Jaylen Brown, about how he's maybe not happy in Boston. He has been talking about how he finds the city to be essentially racist without calling it racist, among other things. What is it that he's frustrated with? Is he frustrated being in Jason Tatum's shadow? Is he just frustrated being in Boston? I don't know. Maybe he's tired of Marcus Smart. Maybe he's tired of Grant Williams. There's some people in that locker room that are probably a tad annoying if you're dealing with them in heavy doses. But if Jaylen Brown liked playing for Ime Udoka, doesn't it make a lot of sense to try and potentially make Brown want to come here by hiring Udoka? Jaylen Brown would be a perfect piece for this team. If you're trying to get a veteran player who's consistent in big spots, who can teach all of those players, these young players, how to actually be a professional, I mean, Brown's the guy. And it's more important that you get good players than you get a great coach. Brown is, in my opinion, top 15. I would love to see Brown as the best player on this Rockets team. And hey, I mean, maybe the Celtics are going to ask for a draft pick in exchange in a trade or something like that. Okay. Because I'm assuming the Celtics are going to do everything in their power to keep Jaylen Brown. But maybe there's a way that you can lure him here. And having Udoka definitely makes the Rockets more attractive destination, I think, for Brown. I would be pumped if they got Brown. I would be bummed out as a Celtics fan, but I would be pumped if they got Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, and Jaylen Brown is the right age for a guy to kind of lift this team and be the
right
veteran, quote-unquote, of the group. I mean, he has played in the NBA, what, since 2016, 17?
Right, but he's surprisingly young.
Yeah, he's 26, which is, again, like the perfect age. Like, you don't – like, obviously, James Harden is more veteran than Jaylen Brown, but he's almost now too veteran compared to Jalen Green, Sengun, Jabari Smith, who are all in their either teens or early 20s, that you'd want someone a little bit closer, a little bit in that timeline. And yeah, I think Ime Udoka, obviously the best, you know, the number one bullet point on the pros list of hiring Ime Udoka isn't, yeah, maybe you get Jaylen Brown, which is actually the best thing you can say about Ime Udoka, is that he would be a great hire even if you say there's no chance that Jaylen Brown ever suits up for the Houston Rockets. It still would be a good hire because of what he did in Boston, specifically the holding the, you know, the guys like Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, accountable, even Grant Williams. You see how he's going now.
Thank God. Someone needed to yell at Grant Williams.
And him being able to instill that kind of discipline and accountability, that is exactly what the Houston Rockets need.
They need it. They need it badly, Sean. And if you have moral qualms about what he did in Boston, just know that you would probably be in the minority as far as this keeping him from ever getting a job again. And I get it. There's a lot of things that we don't know about it, number one. Number two, I'm not acting like sexual harassment isn't a big deal. I'm not acting like improper workplace relationships aren't a big deal. But in the grand scheme of things, where do they rank among big deals? I would say as far as guys getting suspended for a full season, this is pretty crazy, and I know it's a cross-sport comparison, considering Deshaun Watson got 2/3 of a season for doing significantly worse things with many more people, allegedly.
It's also, I mean, given what we know now, so is this offense bad enough that he can never coach in the NBA again?
Right, right.
Like, is that what we're doing? Like, what he did is so bad, he just can't coach in the NBA again.
Gotta keep
him out. If the answer is no, then we'll... Why don't you want to, like,
he cheated on his fiance. Who's done that before?
Never in the NBA.
Never.
You kidding me?
No, that would never happen.
How dare you?
Nope.
For even suggesting that.
By the way, Sean, do you think that the Rockets' job is more interesting than when Steven Silas took over? James Harden was there. Russell Westbrook was there. Jonathan Fagan wrote the job is more interesting. Here's what he had in the Houston Chronicle. The Rockets' initial list of candidates could indicate the job is considered much better than the record. It's a low bar to clear. And with only the Pistons position open at this point in time, there are a few openings for head coaching candidates. But more than a week since Raphael Stone said the feedback he was getting indicated the Rockets' job is an attractive situation, several individuals involved in the process said it is intriguing for the reasons the GM described the day they announced Silas would not be back. Young talent, draft picks, the most cap space in the NBA, and flexibility. And really the only holdup, it seems like, is the coaches want to get a feel for Rockets management. Do you agree with that assessment, Sean? Because I think I do.
Yeah, that's like point for point. Like, yep, it is definitely more interesting. I don't know if it's a better job, but it's definitely more interesting than it was in 2020.
I saw that headline and I was like, is this going to be some Rockets puff?
Last paragraph is
pretty pointed.
Yeah.
And to Fagan's credit, he's not like a lot of the people that cover the Rockets who are just constantly overpraising him. It's the young people that I feel like were like brought into the fold by Daryl Morey, and they just are a tad more trustworthy than they should be. Not skeptical enough. But I think Fagan's right here. And when it comes down to it, it's funny, but joining a team that does not have established stars versus joining a team that has established stars, where are you going to feel more comfortable? Where are you going to deal with more stubborn, let's be honest, pricks? It's probably with the two established stars that Silas had to deal with in Harden and Westbrook before they up and left.
Yes, definitely this team, especially with the cap cap room and the flexibility in that regard, it is a very like moldable team because they have a whole bunch of young guys. And as a coach, you'd want this is a team that you can really kind of build more in your image. You would hope that you get some input on the offseason moves, which will probably be a big offseason as far as adding talent and actually taking that next step into competing. And I can't think of two less moldable NBA players than Russell Westbrook and James Harden. They might be one and two least moldable.
Seriously. Because Westbrook is never changing who he is as a player. And Harden off the court, it's hard to imagine that he's ever going to give that up. To his credit, for a long time, he was able to make it work. I don't know if it's quite the same, and I do think we need to pause, pump the brakes on giving Harden praise for a couple of games against the Nets, one of which he played statistically not particularly well.
Yes, I also would like to see Ime Udoka just MF him about getting in a defensive stance just one time.
I would
just get it. Bend your knees on defense.
Remember,
please?
There's that video of Kevin McHale patting Harden on the shoulder, and Harden like grabs his shoulder and turns around as if like he's just been spanked. He's like that to me. I'm talking about one of the best players in NBA history, who's giving him a pat on the back, and he's acting like a giant bee about it. Whatever. Speaking of people that are often called the B word by fans of teams that dislike him, Draymond Green was officially suspended for game 3 between the Warriors and Kings with a 2-0 series lead for stepping on the chest of Domantas Sabonis. The suspension, said the NBA in a statement, was based in part on Green's history of unsportsmanlike acts. I don't hate Draymond. I'm in the minority on that, but it's pretty crazy that after he missed a game in the NBA Finals that led to his historic team, arguably the best ever, blowing the series up, 3-1? That didn't get him to check himself from doing stuff like he did, yes, in game 2, that maybe, I don't know, maybe there were some other dubious moments that happened. Or the year before, where he did something very similar. It is bleeping nuts that he hasn't learned from that. I mean, peak, stubborn, lauded, highly praised athlete. It's what happens. And to go back to what we were just talking about, Sean, like this is the stubborn, established stars of the NBA. I know we give Gen Z a lot of crap for being difficult to deal with, but I would say as far as millennials go, someone like me, I look at a lot of NBA players and I'm like, you guys are the reason that so many people older than me hate me. Like these specific players. Learn from your mistakes, Draymond. Jesus. Like this is going to cost them? Probably. I mean, I'm not going to act like Draymond's still a plus player, but there's clearly a attitude and a fire that he brings to the table that a lot of the Warriors don't really have. And if he's not going to be there for this game and they're down 2-0, like, do you feel good about their chances to come back? I guess only if you think he's a detriment when he's on the court. So,
and he's not. He's still the best defender on their team by far.
Which is crazy.
He's the only good defender they have. Yeah, I mean, Kevon Looney's all right. But other than that they need him. They can maybe gut out because always the team that's playing their first home game in game 3 down 2-0, like they always have a little bit more of a boost because you can't really fake the desperation that team's playing with if you're up 2-0. But it got a lot harder without Draymond.
It certainly did, Sean. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. We're running a little bit late. There's an admission I have about the NBA playoffs that at some point I need to share. Some of you are going to be absolutely horrified by this admission. We'll do it during the next segment where we will also talk about the Astros' lack of depth and officially give and put in a time capsule our very quick reactions to all the possibilities for the Texans' picks at number two in the NFL draft. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.